And the reason why I put cultivating is because this is not optional. We're going to get into some scripture about this. And it's also not always, it's something sometimes you have to force, you have to make. It's not always there, especially when you're going through hard times and things like that. And one of the things that can help us do that is to praise God for who He is, not just what He does.
Right, right.
I don't want Scotty to stay with me just because of what I do for him,
right,
you know, but for who I am and things like that. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew 6. And my sunglasses was not for effect. I didn't forget to take them off. The light kind of bothers my eyes here lately. Now, this was Jesus talking to his disciples, and we're going to start here in verse 5, just for time's sake. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Now, when you look the word hypocrite up, it basically, in the Webster's Dictionary, it means somebody that's pretending. They're not truthful. They're trying to display something that they're actually not. He says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." So their motives are not right.
Right.
He says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." People seeing them, you know, that's their reward, all they're going to get. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So there's a reward to praying. He says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, pray therefore you. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed, it means keep it holy. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now let's go over to Revelation 4. Since he says there, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right, let's see something that's being done in heaven that should be here in the earth too.
Glory to God.
Verse 6, just for time's sake. "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." It says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we see here, this is just in one spot, to where praise and worship in heaven does not stop.
Right.
These four creatures are around God's throne, and it says day and night they are continually crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So we read over there that Jesus said, pray to the Father that his will be done here in the earth just as it is in heaven. So there's praise. If you're not a praising and worshiper, you're not going to be there. There's nobody there right now that does not praise and does not worship. Nobody.
Amen.
Let's look at John 4. We're just going to look at some things about praise and worship this morning. And this is something that has to be, like I said, a cultivated life. Because Jesus said, as long as we live in this world, we're going to have what?
Tribulation.
He says, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Let me read this to you. I wrote this down. It's good. It'll help you identify yourself wherever you're at. And I believe the scriptures will bear this out. I wrote down, "Faith believes, gives thanks, rejoices, and is glad. Unbelief gripes, complains, doubt, does without, and is sad.
Yep.
And I believe the scriptures that we're going to read this morning and that you already know bears that out. Because the thing about faith is it rejoices. Why? Because it already sees the finished work.
Amen.
It may not see it here in the natural, but in the eyes of your spirit, you see it.
Right.
Right? So therefore, you can be glad about what you don't see right now in the natural. But unbelief always goes by what it sees, feels, all the time.
Right.
So therefore, it can never be faith, and you're always going to be sad. Why? Because there's always going to be things here and now that is not what is supposed to be here and now.
Right.
Right? Just like the things that I've been going through with my head and balance and all of that stuff, I have to not look at that.
Right.
And that's real hard not to do, especially when you see it, you feel it, you live with it and all that. But when it first started, which has been years ago, I would sit on my porch or wherever I was at. I like to sit outside and praise the Lord and pray and different things like that. My head would be so bad. What happens is it's like chaos. It's hard for me to carry out a sentence, you know. Sometimes if you'll say the word, then I can finish my sentence. Different things that goes on, and then I got a lot of other things that's going on. But my point to all that is I sit in my chair, and I begin to praise the Lord, and I begin to pray and worship in other tongues, the Lord. And all of a sudden, right down in here somewhere, I can feel it. It begins to come up, and I begin to laugh. Why? Because, see, this is not me. Your vessel's not you. It's only the house that you live in, or kind of like the car that you drive. So therefore, you can come out and right above what's going on in the natural. Now, does it make it stop? Does it heal it? No. It actually gives me a way of escape at that time to where now I'm not in the flesh. I'm out into the spirit. Remember kind of like I told y'all last week, you're going to have to help me because it's hard to put two sentences together sometimes or two scriptures. And if you help me, we can get out of this natural realm and get over into the spirit realm because the spirit is not bound.
Right.
I say things that come, I'm supposed to be speaking out of my spirit at all times, right? Sometimes it takes a little bit of work to get over there. The Bible says it's the strong spirit of a man that sustains him
right.
in times of trouble and infirmities.
Amen.
What do you think that really means? Just like what I just said. See, what happens to me, it makes me feel weak. It makes me physically weak. It makes me think, try to make me think that I'm weak and different things like that. But according to Scripture, I'm not weak.
Amen.
According to Scripture, if you're born again, you're not weak.
Right.
Now, you can be if you don't feed your spirit man, you know, and spend time with God and exercise the fruit of the Spirit and stuff like that. Because how many knows if all you ever do is just eat, eat, eat and never get any kind of movement or exercise, you're going to be fat.
And weak.
Right.
And weak. It's the same thing over in the spirit. But when you feed your spirit man and you exercise the fruit of the spirit, walking in love, and you fellowship with God and God's people, it makes you strong, even though you can be physically weak on the outside. But that's what he's talking about. It's the strong spirit of a man that sustains him through these things. Why? Because everybody's not just naturally, instantly healed at every second. According to Scripture, the lepers, they was healed as they went. You know, sometimes things doesn't happen right the second that we always want it to.
Yeah.
Whether our money comes right the second, we think we've got to have it right now. The thing that I have found out about God, most of the time, you're going to wait longer than you thought you could.
Yeah.
Right.
Like sometimes people ask, I think Kenneth Hagin or whatever, they said, well, how long do we have to believe? They said, well, I can't tell you that till you get it. It's all I know.
Right.
And that's usually always longer than what we want it to be.
Right.
But God is faithful, amen.
Amen.
So here in John chapter 4, glory to God. I have been doing my best to exercise this myself. Every time Scotty gets on my nerves, which is often, multiple times a day, he's a good man, just me and him have little differences, you know. And he don't know it, but here lately, every time he gets on my nerves or does something I don't like or whatever, or leaves them clothes on the floor or something, I say, thank you, Lord, I have a good husband. I do not feel that, April. Why? I don't have to feel it. That's what faith does. And Scotty is a good man, and I believe he's getting better. And I believe he's believing for me to get better and better. Ain't that a lot better than saying, God, I tell you, I'm so sick of this man right now. He leaves his clothes on this floor, or he does this, or he don't do that. Well, see, now I'm in what I see and what I feel. So therefore, I cannot be in faith, and I'm going to be in unbelief, and I'm going to complain, and I'm going to gripe, and I'm going to do without, and I'm going to be sad. And there's nothing worse than a sad Christian. They're just pitiful. I hate to be around sad Christians. It's like they're the vampire to suck the life right out of you, sad Christians do. I can't stand that. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, straighten it out. I'm trying to get to John 4 here. Oh, let's see. We must be in the spirit or something. That's John 3. No wonder it don't look right. I'm going to start reading for time's sake in verse 19. And we all know the story. This here is the woman at the well that had had five husbands, and Jesus calls her out on it. We're going to pick it up here in verse 19. It says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. He read her mail, and now she's had a revelation, ain't she? Whew, you're a prophet now. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now notice this. But the hour cometh, or in other words, is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. How?
In spirit.
In spirit and in truth. In other words, there's no hypocrisy in that. It's not coming out of my head. Now, when you first start, it may be something that is forced. How many knows faith doesn't have to have a feeling? Now, sometimes if you're in faith, you will have, you'll feel like a boldness or whatever because you know that you know that you know. But faith is a choice. I choose to praise God. I choose to worship God. And usually most of the time when I start, I don't feel it. But after a little while, oh, Lord, do you feel it? But he says there, those that worship God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. He says, for the Father, notice, seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's very important. He said that two times in three sentences. We have to worship. See, a lot of times people in the church or the body of Christ, we have reduced praise and worship down to what Travis gets up here and the praise team does at 11 o'clock. How many knows that that can be praise and worship, or that can be going on and no praise and worship?
Right.
It can just be noise. It can just be talent, right?
Yep.
Right.
Why? Because he says the true worshipers, they worship in spirit and they worship in truth. Now let's look at Psalm 150. Somebody might be saying, well, I get it. I understand it. Okay, move on to something else. No, you ain't got it yet. You know how I know? Because, see, if you really got it, what I'm saying is just like putting wood on your fire, and it makes you want to do it more.
Right, right.
And if you're not there, we ain't got it yet. It's just something that's in your head, and the flesh just wants to move on to something else. And I'm not going to do it. We have to stay with whatever he says. See, the Bible talks about in the last days there'll be perilous times. I ain't never seen no more perilous times in my lifetime than what I see right now. How are you going to overcome perilous times? One thing is praise and worship, because if you're going to be a praiser and a worshiper, you can't be looking at the times, you can't be looking at the people, you can't be looking at your problems. The Bible says in Hebrews, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what joy was set before him? All of us.
Amen.
By faith he saw all of us. He had to by faith. Why? It hasn't happened yet. So the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So every one of us, for the joy that is set before us, just like what's going on, this is not my end.
Right.
This is not my end.
That's right.
It might be my right now, But it is not my end. Why? I'm looking to the future, to where my end is, where this body is completely whole, sound,
yeah.
Healed. Right?
Right?
You too. People that's going through all kinds of things. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they had wanted to die because of all the problems and things that they're dealing with and all that stuff and everything. And I told them, I said, but there's always a chance you can be healed.
Right.
Now, in Jesus, it's not a chance, but you know what I'm saying. We have to receive.
Right.
So, I mean, with him, there's never an end. It's not over till it's over, till you're out of here.
Right.
You might be in the hospital and it looks like it's over and the doctor's done said it's over. It's not over yet if you still got breath.
Right.
And sometimes even if you ain't. You can be raised from the dead.
Yep.
Verse chapter 150, verse 6. He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let's go. You disqualified yourself. You breathing? Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Let me read that again. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now go.
Amen.
Are you breathing?
Yeah.
Then we're supposed to praise the Lord.
Right.
But you don't know what I'm going through. Do we need to read it again? I'm serious. We got to get this.
Right.
See, you may think you know this, but if you ain't doing it, you don't know it.
Right.
If I'm not doing it, I don't know it.
Right.
Because see, the thing about it is, praise is an offense, but it's also a defensive weapon against my flesh and the enemy. Why? Because my flesh wants to talk how it feels. It wants to talk about what I see. It wants to live in how I feel.
Right.
And that's never going to be any good. Whether it's your body, whether it's your finances, whether it's your kids, all kinds of things, your co-workers. He says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. We all took a breath, so therefore we're all supposed to praise the Lord. Now go back to verse 1. He says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Where?
Sanctuary.
So we found out we have to do it in spirit and truth. We found out here, do it in the sanctuary. It says, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts, so the things that he does, right? Praise him according to his excellent greatness. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen? And he says here, praise him for his greatness. There is no other greater than him.
Amen.
He says, verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. So that's why we have instruments. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbre and dance. So we can praise the Lord in dancing, right?
Yep.
Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. So, Miss April, you're right in line. Monty's right in line. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Yay, Teresa's right in line. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
See, do you realize it'll make you feel better to just go, glory to God. Glory to God.
There will.
Hallelujah. See, I don't have to have a reason to praise the Lord.
Right.
He said, praise him because of his greatness. I just praise you, God, because you are God. I just thank you, Lord, you are so good. I thank you, Lord, the word of God says that in you, you are total light. There's no shadow of turning. When he turns around, it makes no shadow because there's light emanating out of him all the way around.
Man.
Let's look at, let's see where we'll go. Psalm 100. In case you don't know it, which I'm talking to those on the internet too, you don't ever know what they know. Somebody could have got saved yesterday or this morning. But anyway, David is the penman of Psalm. And when you read the story about David's life, you think you've been through something.
Right.
Whew. Now I'm talking about a real giant. Now we have spiritual giants, you know, and different things like that. But I mean, we're talking about a real giant, and he's a teenage boy. Then you got Saul, you know, that is constantly trying to kill him, that gave him his daughter and then gave her to some other guy, you know, and all this other stuff. And when he plays the harp for him for the evil spirits to depart, he throws javelins at him. I mean, this dude went through some stuff. And I mean, that's very small things there. I mean, his own son, I can't remember his name, Absalom or something other, rose up against him and tried to take the kingdom and all this other. I mean, he went through some stuff almost his entire life. I mean, while he's a teenage boy, he's out there keeping the sheep and communing with God, and Samuel gets called over there to Jesse's house by God, and he tells him to anoint the king, and nobody's thinking about him.
Right.
Little kid. Why would we think about Damien? He's just a teenager. God sees teenagers.
Right.
And the thing about David was, the Bible says David was a praiser and David was a worshiper.
Yes.
He would be out there keeping them sheep and praising the Lord. He didn't need any recognition. And the Bible says, God said, David is a man after my own heart that will do all of my will. Was David a perfect man? Absolutely not. That man had some stuff that he did he should have not have done. But the thing about it was, he would be quick to repent, and he praised and he worshiped God. Now look here in Psalm 100. We're going to start in verse 1. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So you cannot use the excuse, I cannot sing. Everybody should not record. I should not be recording an album. But I should sing and praise unto the Lord. As he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
It's going to take faith for you to serve the Lord at all times with gladness. Why? Because everything is not conducive to what you see, the way you want it, or the way that God says it's supposed to be. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
So we're supposed to sing unto the Lord. Maybe it's in the shower where nobody else can hear you, but you better be doing some singing to the Lord. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. This is humility. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Now remember what I told you. Faith believes, gives thanks, rejoices, and is glad.
Right.
He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Does this scripture say if your circumstances are good?
No.
If you feel like it? If you got plenty of money? If you're healthy? If your kids are serving the Lord? No, do you understand? You praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord through everything gives glory to him. It doesn't just bring glory to God when I never have a problem. When I have problems, it's good for people to see if I'm doing the right way and the right thing. T.D. Jakes said one time, I heard him say at his church when he was growing up, he nearly backslid because everybody in his church was perfect but him. That's the way he perceived everybody because that's the way everybody put themselves out. Now, no, I'm not going to tell you all my faults. It ain't none of your business. But, I mean, just like what I'm going through now, I know that y'all can see some of that. And just like the Lord told Sandy, stop looking at her. Why? Because I'm what can be seen. You got to be looking at the things that are not seen,
right,
which are eternal, right? The Word of God. So he says there, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is what?
Good.
I may be experiencing bad. But it doesn't change that God is good.
Right.
His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Ooh, can't y'all feel that rising?
Amen.
I feel it. What are you talking about? Well, just hang in here with us and you'll understand. Sometimes things can't be taught, they got to be felt.
Right.
And when you get there, you know it. Psalm 22:3, it says, but thou art holy, oh, that thou inhabiteth the praises of Israel. See, we're grafted in now, so the Bible says he inhabiteth the praises of his people. See, God is everywhere according to Scripture. At all times. But he's not inhabiting or manifesting himself everywhere all the time. What do I mean by that? Sure, he's here this morning because he came on the inside of every one of us. But the more that we magnify him this morning, the more we praise him because he says he inhabits, or in other words, he'll come and manifest and reveal himself. You will know that he's here and that he's with you. That's what he's talking about. The more that we magnify the Lord, the more that we praise him and we worship him and create an atmosphere for him to dwell in, he comes and he manifests. He don't come where there's griping and complaining all the time. The Bible talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God that is within you. In the very next verses, he starts talking about how you're talking over there in Ephesians and how you treat people. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be nowhere like that either.
Right.
So therefore, I can't be like that. You ever got around somebody and you just know they're a Christian because it feels good and they ain't even said a word?
Yeah.
That song come to me this morning when I was praising and worshiping the Lord. I can't even remember the name of it. But it says, "For thou, O Lord, thou art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head." When we're praisers and worshipers, not just in public, I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about cultivating this when times are good, when times are bad. It's like it puts a shield about us. He becomes our glory and he's the lifter of our head. The Bible says, "I will look into the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord." Amen? So we got to quit looking to the banks, got to quit looking to our spouses, got to quit looking to the doctors. Now, I didn't say you can't go to the bank. I didn't say you can't go to the doctor. But that should not, stuff should not be the first place that we look.
Right.
Let him lead us and tell us what to do. Because he's got answers we ain't never thought about.
Right.
Now, where did I tell y'all go? We'll get done with that one. Oh, yeah, okay. I quoted that one there. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's look at Psalm 34. Yeah, I feel it getting stronger. We might just break out in a dance here in a few minutes. You'll be like, "I know people watching. You ain't got over there yet." Who cares? I'm watching you all the time.
Right.
I told Mom the other day, I said, "I got to wear it on and like to go to church because I can just feel people looking at me. I don't like that. You want somebody just staring and googly at you all the time?" The Lord is the only one we're supposed to be doing that to. Him, we put a magnifying glass on him.
Right.
But he is the only one. What did I tell you? Psalm 34.
Yeah.
He says, "I will bless the Lord at" how many times?
Oh,
When I read this, I thought about Smith Wigglesworth. Somebody asked him, "Well, you know, Wigglesworth, how often do you pray? Or how long do you pray?" He said, about 15 minutes. And they were shocked, you know, because you're looking at the man of power for the hour. You know, he was the apostle of faith, some of them call it. Many documented cases raised from the dead. He said, "But rarely do I go 15 minutes without praying." And when I read this, because it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times," I thought, okay, God, I need to come to the place to where I don't go over 15 minutes without I praise you.
Right.
Now, one of the things that's going to create in me is an awareness of God at all times.
Yes.
Right.
At all times. There's not one of us that don't need an awareness of God at all times. Because if you lose awareness of Him or sight of Him or whatever, you're going to start looking at other things.
Right.
And you're going to start listening when the devil starts talking. But He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall" what?
Continually.
If Scotty's continually on my nerves, what's that mean?
All the time.
Is this all the time, honey, don't it? Or vice versa. So we understand what continually means. He says, "Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be sad."
No.
That's why I said, if you're like, "Okay, I got it. We're supposed to praise the Lord. Let's move on." You ain't got it yet. What do you say? He says there, "The humble will hear and they'll be sad."
No,
they'll be glad. It'll cause rejoicing to bubble up on the inside of them too. And they'll be glad and they'll start praising and rejoicing the Lord, right?
Right.
He goes on and he says, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." What's that mean, magnify? Y'all had a magnifying glass before, right? Surely y'all didn't catch the field on fire, but maybe you magnified something. What it means is, whatever you put a magnifying glass on, it gets bigger. My glasses right now, they're bifocals. Reason why I got bifocals is because I don't want to take them on and off. Because this down here, if I look at you like that, y'all are blurry. I can't see y'all. So when I look at this, I got to have this one. Because down here is the magnifiers in my glasses. It makes them bigger. A lot of times what we do is we make our problems, even in our prayer life, we go to God and tell God all of our problems. All of the things that we're not, all the things that we don't have.
Yeah.
That's not what we're supposed to be doing. He says, "Let all our requests be made known unto God," right?
Right.
But not just go tell him all your problems. Never tell God your problems without bringing him into it. And God, your word says this, though. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm this, though. Your word says that you always caused me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, your word says that you always give us the victory, right? Thank you, Father God, I'm not a victim, but Lord, you have given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You never just leave it at your problems. Why? You magnify the Lord of his goodness, of his greatness, of what he's done. Right? Of who he is and through his word. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Now this right here does away when you ever prayed and it feels like your prayers is getting to the ceiling and coming back?
Yeah.
That's a lie.
That's
your feelings. Why? He says here, I sought the Lord and he heard me. The Bible says, he's over there, he says that we are his sheep. Right? And we hear his voice.
That's right.
He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. But that doesn't mean right at the second. The word salvation, when you look it up, it's not just being saved. The word salvation is kind of like a package deal when you look it up. There's financial prosperity in that. There's physical healing in that. There's spiritual healing in that. There's deliverance in those scriptures. There's deliverance from sin, right? All of that stuff, it's a whole package deal.
Right.
And he says there that we have to, he would deliver us from all of our fears. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What that means is, not that everybody needs to leave you alone, mind their own business, which I thought it did, and I used that one on Scotty quite often years ago. What that means is the salvation that you have received, it has to be worked out from where it's... Because when you get born again, it comes into you in seed form. The Bible says we have been born again from the Word of God, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, right? So when you get born again, you're born again kind of like in seed form. And it's got to grow and it's got to develop to where it gets out into your thinking. It gets out in your talking. It comes out in your body, your deliverance, your healing, all this other stuff. And let's look at... Psalm 35, since we're over here, verse 27 and 28. It says, let them do what?
Shout.
Woo! Glory. It says, shout for what?
Because
they're so sad. You keep seeing this stuff along with praise and worship. He says, let them shout for joy and be glad. What if I don't feel glad? It don't matter. The Bible says, if you feel weak, let the weak say what? I'm so weak. I'm so weak and I'm just getting weaker. There's life and death in the power of the tongue, the word says. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say how often?
Continually.
Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Glory to God. Right there, devil, God takes pleasure. It pleases him to prosper me in every area of my life.
Yes.
Third John over there, he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prospers. He says, prosper and be in health. That's going to be a healthy body, prospering right, as your soul prospers. He says here, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise when?
All
the day long. This is a job, Sandy. Like I said, I've been working on it and trying to incorporate it more and more. And I'm seeing like, God, just how much I didn't do this. I mean, for real, when you start looking at continually, all day long, and all this other stuff, it's a lot.
Right.
Let's look at Psalm 71. Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. God said nobody's ever put their trust in him and be put to shame.
Right.
He says, do I put my trust? Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of thy mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Now look at Psalm 16. See, when you're looking at magnifying him and praising him, you can't be looking at two things at one time.
Right.
You can't even be counting in your mind and talking out your mouth at the same time. Because once you start talking, the counting has to stop.
Right.
Unless you're doing something in the spirit. That's how come you can think whatever you want to and pray in other tongues. Why? Because it's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your spirit. Now here in Psalm 16, verse 11. No, that's 17. Let me get back over here. I think it's verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what?
Lord.
You cannot be depressed in the presence of God. It's impossible. If you got depression on you this morning, the way to get it off is begin to magnify and praise the Lord. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And God says he inhabits the praises of his people. So if we're sad, I mean, sure. Well, I'm sure probably every one of us could raise our hand and tell the problems that we're dealing with right now. Whether it's you or kid problems or husband or wife problems, whatever. Why? We all got issues. You know, maybe sometimes our issues are a little less than other times. But he says there, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
Are you weak this morning? Do you feel weak? Well, then you need to get in his presence and let the joy begin to flow. Why? Joy is already on the inside of you if you've been born again. Why? It's the fruit of the Spirit over there in Galatians 5:22. Right? But the thing about it is, sometimes when we're looking at the problem or we're feeling so bad or we're going through so much, seems like, or whatever, you don't find the joy. Well, the Bible says sometimes stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. The Bible says that we'll draw. They say, I don't know about y'all, but Granny used to have a well, and she had this big, long, metal thing that was on a string, or not a string, but a rope, and you let it down into the well, and it's worked. You got to run the handle down there or whatever, let it down in there, pull this thing, let it fill up, and then roll it back up, and then bring it over here and put it in a bucket. What do you think draw means? It just flows on you.
No.
I mean, seriously, sometimes we need to think.
Right.
He said that we can draw out of the wells of salvation. The Bible says singing unto ourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Do you realize the devil can't do nothing with somebody like that? Why? Because no matter what punch he throws at you, it ain't connecting. And even if he does, praise the Lord, say you're in the boxing ring and I mean you're bleeding out your nose and out your mouth and both your eyes is nearly swelled shut and you're on the floor. Look up at him and say, I'm winning. Oh, he can't take that. I'm winning. Thank you, Lord. You're the strength of my life. I go in the name of the Lord God. Thank you, Lord. He cannot take that. He cannot stay around that. See, he can only keep up an attack for so long. He's not like God. God is all patience. He is the God of patience. The devil is not. And he can't keep an all-out assault against you for very long. So if you'll keep him over here in the arena of faith, which has praise, which has worship, which has thanksgiving, which has joy and all that, he can't do nothing with you. And that's one of the reasons why he tries to get us to focus on whatever is right in front of us instead of what the Word says, instead of magnifying the Lord. Now let's look at, I got about 4 minutes. Isaiah 61. I really like this one. They have a song with this in it. don't think I'm going to sing it. We're doing pretty good right now, so I don't think I'll sing it. The Lord would like to hear it, but y'all might know it. Psalm 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion is a representation of the church. To give unto them what? You get ashes this morning? Things in your life been burned up, never to be resurrected. What's he say he gives for that?
Beauty.
Does it feel beautiful? No. He goes on, he says, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for what?
Morning.
The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but what?
Joy
comes in the morning. And weeping may be enduring in what seems like your darkest hour, but God is always there and he's bringing the light. So joy comes in the morning. He says the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of what?
Praise.
Praise for what?
Praise.
You feel heavy this morning? Praise the Lord. Exchange garments. Quit wearing the one that's binding you up. He has freedom. He says here, it's an exchange. Our entire life, the whole thing about the gospel is an exchange life. All of Jesus' goodness and everything he has and all of that, for all of my rottenness and my badness and everything that I'm not and all that. And that's exactly what he's saying here. I'll give you beauty for your ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy. Right?
Right.
He goes on here. Where am I at?
Beauty
for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. See, us not ever having problems or dealing with anything is not what glorifies God. It's even though we have the tribulation, we have the problems, we have the attacks of the enemy, it's how we respond to all that that brings glory to God. Y'all remember the story about Joseph?
Yeah.
Any of y'all have been through what he went through?
No.
I didn't think so. Me neither. I have my own stuff, and I ain't been there. My family ain't never sold me into slavery, and Potiphar's wife lied on him and all that. I don't find anywhere in all that that he began to gripe and complain.
No, you're right.
And the thing about it is, it was all God.
Right.
It was all worked in the plan of God. Because, see, God couldn't have just took Joseph up there to Pharaoh and said, hey, I'm Joseph, and I'm here to save the day. Pharaoh would have whacked his head right off.
Yep.
And Joseph had grace to deal with everything that he dealt with.
Yep,
Joseph had the favor of God on his life. Everywhere, every place they put Joseph, the blessing began to flow. He began to increase, right? But the intended end was not just Joseph. See, God has a plan for Dee's life, but Dee's life is connected to mine. Dee's life is connected to Johnny's. It's connected to Nemo's. Everybody's life is connected. And see, I like to look at just my little plan. So therefore, everything in my little life, God, you can just work it out and work this, and I don't got to go through no kind of hardship for nobody. But see, Joseph endured all that he did and stayed in the right spirit with God because God had to use Joseph to save a whole nation. Him and his daddy and his brothers and the whole nation. See, sometimes we don't know, and I'm not talking about the devil. We don't have to suffer sickness and disease, right? Jesus done paid the price. I rebuke that. That is not God.
Amen.
Hardship is usually God. The Bible says in Proverbs that hardship is a chisel in the hand of God. How do you think he's going to get all the rough edges off of you to where you're like a block of ice or just a thing of wood, and then you turn out to be this big, beautiful bear? Or this, what is it, swine made out of ice? Y'all seen that stuff, ain't you?
Yeah.
They beat on it. They have to get the rough edges off. I see them out there with a chainsaw on that block of ice, and I'm thinking, good Lord, you're just going to split that whole thing up. No, they got a chainsaw. But then they'll get down to the little bitty stuff and all that and bring out a chisel. And when they get done, it is a beautiful. It's hard for me to imagine that they could do the things that they do.
Yeah.
God is a master craftsman.
Yeah.
So during all the times that Joseph was going through what he went through, he still praised the Lord. He still worshiped the Lord. He still had faith in God. He never turned his back on God. And the end result, Joseph and all his family was blessed, and the whole nation was taken care of. Had there not been a Joseph, they would all died.
Right.
Why? Because they got 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. Now, before I close, I want to just quote this, since my time's already up. Here in Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 24, it says, Abraham was strong, staggered not in unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong faith gives glory to God. And a lot of times the Bible says that faith has to be tried, that it'll come forth as pure gold. If you got faith, you better believe it's going to be tried. Might get all the impurities out of it. Glorify God. But it says he staggered not in unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God that he believed what God had promised he would do. We have to believe whatever God has promised he will do. Does anybody have any questions or anything to share before we close?
That was good.
All right, we'll raise us to 11.